Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's gospel is very simply divided into just two questions. The first question is law and directs you to the law. What does God require of you? The second question is gospel and points you away from the law. What does God give to you? The answer to the first question, what does God require of you, is summarized by Jesus in the gospel today when the Pharisees went and asked him to test him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" In other words, what does God require of us above all else? And Jesus summarized it with the word love. The law requires love. The Pharisees didn't necessarily expect that answer. They were trying to test Jesus. They were certainly hoping for something else. What does the law require, Jesus? What does God require of us? To keep the Sabbath? We do that. To pray? We do that. To give tithes and offerings? We certainly do that. To not kill anyone? To not murder? We don't do that. If he had said any of those things, they would have said to him, "See, Jesus, we do that, or we don't do that. Now you, go away." But instead, Jesus' answer went beyond superficial behavior. "You shall love," he said, "not just any God, but the Lord, Yahweh, your God," just as Moses said in the first lesson today. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second great commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." True obedience to God's law, doing what he requires of us, requires our hearts, all of it, all the time. It requires obedience that begins and ends with the heart, with love, with devotion. There is no obedience to God's commandments without love for God and without love for our neighbor. Love is what God requires of you. Love for him, love for your neighbor. And we have those commandments of God in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and everything else written in the prophets, Jesus says, that depend on this. Love. Ten Commandments show us what love for God looks like. What's it look like? To fear the Lord your God, to trust in him, to accept what he sends, both good and bad, with a grateful heart, because you love him and you know that he'll always give you what's best for you. What does it look like to love the Lord your God? It's to keep his name holy. To love his word, to hear it, to learn it eagerly, above all other things. To suffer what God wills by obeying whatever he commands, not because you have to, but because you love to, because you love him. And you would gladly set aside everything and everyone else in your life to have God, to serve him, to obey him. That's love for the Lord. Love for your neighbor, the Ten Commandments make that clear too. It's to honor from the heart with love the authorities God has placed in your home and in your government and in your church. It's not just not to kill your neighbor, but it's not to hate your neighbor. It's to love your neighbor and help him or her care for them in their physical needs. It's to respect your neighbor's marriage and the marriage bed. It's to protect your neighbor's possessions and guard his good name out of love. The opposite of this love is obvious to us. It's hatred, selfishness, disobedience, dishonor, discord. It's the cold shoulder. It's the scowling hello. It's all these things where you hate your neighbor. I hate him. I'm not going to talk to him. Not going to be nice to her. I want to get rid of my neighbor. I could never love someone who's done that, someone who's said this. It's pulling someone aside. Do you know what so-and-so did? Can you believe it? And yet, even though you don't do it, God requires it of you in his law. He requires love. And so I stand condemned by God's law. And so do you. So did the Pharisees. So do all people. Who does this? This love from the heart for God above all things, above our own interests. Who does this? Who shows this love to their neighbor without any thought to self? This is the law. This is what God requires of all of us to love, that our hearts should be like this all the time. And yet out of the heart, says Jesus, comes every evil imaginable. If keeping God's law were a matter of saying our prayers, going to church, not killing anybody, we could all do that. But to have a heart of love and to show it all the time to the Lord first, to your neighbor second, to the rest of your neighbors second, to yourself only after everyone else is done. The law condemns. It condemns with a purpose. It condemns so that we recognize that we're helpless and hopeless. It condemns so that we stop looking to ourselves, stop trying to offer God things. It condemns so that we go running in search of a helper, so that we go running in search of someone who will save us from our lovelessness and from our sin. Which is what Jesus does with his second question. See how the Pharisees are the ones who want to know what does God require of us. Jesus is the one who points them in the other direction. What does God give to you? And so he asks his question, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? Jesus asks the Pharisees who were trying to test him. They knew that answer. They said to him, he is the son of David. Everyone in Israel knew that. That God had promised to King David 1,000 years before that his son, his descendant, would sit on the throne of Israel and would reign not just over Israel, but to the ends of the earth, would reign forever. That's the Christ. They had trouble with his second question, though. How is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? Jesus quoted that verse from Psalm 110. And it seems like the Pharisees had never thought this one all the way through. They knew about the Christ being the son of David, never thought about him being his Lord or how that could possibly be. Jesus stumped them with that question. They couldn't answer. And from that day on, they didn't even bother asking him any more questions. They stopped studying this law, this word of God with him, stopped discussing it, because this was Holy Week. The time for study and testing and questions was over. The next thing they would call for would be Jesus' crucifixion. because they couldn't answer his word. But you and I who have learned the Christian faith, know the answer to Jesus' question. How can the Christ be David's son and David's Lord? Because Jesus, the Christ, was born of Mary, David's long-distant descendant. Because Jesus, the Christ, the son of Mary, was even the legal son of Joseph, David's descendant. Born of the house and line of David, and yet conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, David's Lord. That's not hard for us. We know that. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father. Through him all things were made. We know Jesus as the Christ, the Son of David and David's Lord, just as the angels announced on the night of his birth, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. In him, God gives. He is the one whom God has given, so that you might have some place to run when the law condemns you, and it always will. But he is always a place to run and hide in his wounds, in his obedience, in his love. He was born as the son of David to be like one of us, so that his love would count for our lovelessness, so that his death would give us life. With his love, he gives a record of love that covers our sins. With his death, he offered a death that pays for the sins of all. And so now, God doesn't direct you to his law when it comes to your salvation. What does God require of you? Instead, he directs you to Christ. What does God give to you? He gives you his Son. He gives you forgiveness for your sins. He gives you a place in his family. He gives you eternal life. God calls all men to look into the law, to see that there's no hope there, to see that it's what God gives in the gospel, in his Son. That's where there's hope, sure hope, and sure salvation. God calls all men to repentance because all you have in yourself is sin and unrighteousness. But as you look around for that helper, there comes Jesus preaching the gospel to you again, here in this pulpit, here from this altar. Here comes Jesus again saying, "Here am I, God's gift to you." Don't look to yourself to please God. Look to Christ, who has pleased God for you. Find in him your rescue. Find in him your mediator, your justifier. You have been justified through faith in Christ, and now you have peace with God. You've had your sins washed away in holy baptism. You have Christ coming to you over and over again to forgive your sins, to strengthen you, to confirm you in your faith, to protect you from the devil and all who would assault you and bring you away from this gospel. So instead of pointing you to what you do, Christ points you to himself. Instead of requiring that you worship God by offering him things, the true worship of God is the worship of faith, where we receive things and don't give anything. We receive all of his gifts in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, you who believe in Jesus are no longer judged under the law, thank God, but you are judged under grace. You are judged by the gospel. You are judged through Christ Jesus, in whom you believe. And now it's you, the saints of God, who have been remade in the likeness of Jesus, it's you who now know how to love. It's you, the saints of God, who can love God and in this life begin to love him and to serve him and to begin to serve your neighbor in love, not because of what your neighbor might give to you, but because of what God has already given you. Not because your neighbor loves you, he or she may not, but because God has loved you with an everlasting love. And so you are free to love. And then you look to God's commandments to show you, how do I love my neighbor? How do I serve him or her? What does God want from me? Not to get to heaven, but because I'm there. This is the gospel of Jesus, that you look to God who has given you all things in his Son and receive it all from him, his forgiveness, his love, his presence, and his strength. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.